Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight, and we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you, Father, as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but your word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all that we take the word that we hear, that springs forth life on the inside of us, and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you tonight. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us all utterance to speak with all boldness, uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's always present in our life, that anointing that's always there, that anointing that we stir up tonight, that anointing that just makes everything okay. And Father God, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done, everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, today's a special day. It's Mother's Day, and I know I just had you sit down, but let's have all the mothers stand up. I know some of you are not only mothers, you're grandmothers, but just stand up. We want to give you a hand on this great occasion. Amen. I mean, there's nothing more wonderful than to be a mom. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in our family, it's a little bit different. My mom was actually born on Mother's Day. So a lot of times we celebrate Mother's Day and my mom's birthday on the same day. Of course, her birthday is tomorrow, and you know, she says she'll be 50 once again for however many times that is. There's only an issue about that is this year I turned 50 as well. So, you know, the math doesn't really work out anymore. You know, so I guess me and my mom are the same age now. So I guess I'm are going to be in July. So that's interesting. You know, I was kind of looking back at my notes. I think this is only the second time I've actually spoken on Mother's Day. You know, one of the things that we've always done at Rhema, we always believe that, you know, whenever there's a special holiday, we should speak on that holiday. And normally, Dad's normally here on Mother's Day, so he normally always speaks on Mother's Day, both in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. Now, Father's Day, I don't even know how many times I've spoken on Father's Day. Two reasons. The first time I spoke, they thought it would be kind of cool that the son would speak on Father's Day. For whatever reason, they never asked me to speak on Mother's Day. I don't know why, in Tulsa. And then second reason is Father's Day is in the summertime, and a lot of times mom and dad are traveling, and they seem to be gone quite a bit on Father's Day. So I've spoken there many times, but I think it's only the second time I spoke here in actually Oklahoma City on Mother's Day. So it's a wonderful, you know, thing to get to do. You know, there's something special about the bond of a mother. And I think maybe it's because we were in our mother's womb for 9 months, you know. So the mom bonds with the child even before the father. I mean, you know, the father gets to put their hand on the stomach and feel the kicks and all that kind of stuff. But there's a special bond between mother and child. You know, and it is interesting. I know Dad always points out that whenever they put a TV camera on people, everyone says, "Hi, Mom." They never say hi, Dad. It's always hi, Mom. I think, you know, it's because they want their mom to be proud of it. Even people, you know, a lot of times, you know, on the bench at a football game or whatever, but even when they just turn the camera to the sidelines of just random people, people like, "Hi, Mom," you know, because they want their mom to see them. They want their mom to see that they've done something with their life and, you know, to be proud of them or whatever. You know, I like to, like I said, I call myself a Googleologist. I always like to find out why things happen. So I was kind of looking at the history of Mother's Day, and it's kind of interesting. Mother's Day was first suggested by Julia Ward Howe, who actually wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic in 1872. As a day dedicated to peace, Miss Howe would hold an organized Mother's Day meeting in Boston, Mass. Every year. But the way it got to be I always wonder, why is it the second week of May? And, you know, because some places, you know, they always have a certain day, but it's second week of May. And it was because in 1907, a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began to campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. Miss Jarvis persuaded her mother's church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on the second anniversary of her mother's death, the second Sunday of May. By the next year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in Philadelphia. Miss Jarvis and her supporters began to write to ministers, businessmen, and politicians in their quest to establish a national Mother's Day, and it was successful. And by 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state. And so President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. He established that day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for our mothers of our country. By then, it had become customary to wear white carnations to honor departed mothers and red to honor the living, a custom that continues to this day. While many countries of the world celebrate their own Mother's Day at different times throughout the year, there are some countries such as Denmark, Finland, Italy, Turkey, Australia, Belgium, and many more which celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. So it's just pretty interesting because one lady decided to honor her mom on the second Sunday in May, and how, you know, now it's not just a national occasion, it's an international occasion because one mom just wanted to honor their mom, you know. So it's kind of interesting, you know, how things come to light. And, you know, now I haven't actually read yet, so but someone told me that Father's Day was kind of a Hallmark holiday. You know, they said, well, we're honoring our mothers, so we need to sell cards, so let's honor our fathers too. I'm not sure if that's true. I'll Google that at some point in time later on. But you know, one woman decided to honor her mom. And it's just, you know, and so now we celebrate on the second Sunday every May. We celebrate and a time to honor our mom, you know, whether they're here or whether they're gone. You know, the great thing about social media now is, you know, even folks that have lost their mom can still put a picture of their mom on social media and celebrate, you know, what they've taught them and what they've done for them in life. So today I actually went through and found a lot of different people, a lot of different things they said about their mom. So I just want to talk a little bit about the influence of a mother. All right, Abraham Lincoln was very close to his mom and attribute his mom to being one of the persons that got him to where he became. And he said a few things. The first thing he said was, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." He also said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." The last thing that I have here is says, Abraham Lincoln said this, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Now, you might not be physically rich, but you are rich because you have a mother who is godly, who is praying for you and always with you. George Washington says this about his mom. He says, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the morals, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." John Abbott said this, "Mothers have as powerful an influence over the welfare of our future generations as all other earthly causes combined." Mothers are the most influential of our generations. I mean, it's all because of the mom. Andrew Jackson says this, "There never was a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove and brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were all the only capital that I had to start with. And on that capital, I have made my own way." So, you know, I believe that it was a mother's influence that even started this nation. Because we look at our founding fathers, and they talked about how their mom was their greatest influence in their life. And, you know, I know many of us think about our mom. You know, obviously, if it wasn't for our mom, we wouldn't be here. I get that, you know, on the physical things. But I think also if it wasn't for our mom, we really wouldn't be here. I don't know how many people that I've talked to in life and they've told me, said, you know, what, without a praying mom, I don't know if I ever would be in a church. You know, I've heard that standpoint, without a praying mom, without a praying grandma. You know, it's just awesome how you know, and it seems that our mothers care for us even when nobody else does. You know, our mother is it's kind of like Jesus. She never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, in the world that we live in, I know for many years I was a youth minister, and it was not uncommon to see a single mom raising kids on their own. And their dad is still alive, but they don't see him anywhere. He's out of the picture. They don't even know where he exists. But it's very rare to see a situation where you have a single father raising kids, you know, and the mom's still in the picture. Sometimes, you know, mom passes away, but moms do very seldom ever desert their kids. I know when my son was in prison, visited him many times, you know, and you know, heard stories about, well, the only person that ever visits that person is their mom. And I know some moms that would show up every Saturday at 7 a.m. to be the first ones in line to visit their kids. And I'm not talking about, you know, their kids were young. They were old. But you know what? You know, it doesn't matter how old we ever get. Our mom's always there for us. And like I said, I don't know if I would be the person that I would be without my mom. I mean, me and my dad, we're very close, probably as close as you could be. But, you know, my mom's always been there. My dad's there, too. But my dad sometimes, you know, he doesn't give good advice. He doesn't listen. You know, not that, you know, dads are good. But a lot of times dads don't listen. They don't listen to your issues. My dad doesn't, you know, he doesn't like all the nitty-gritty. He doesn't know what to say sometimes. But thank God for a good mom. It's always been there, the good times and the bad times and the ugly times and the happy times. You know, thank God for a good godly mom, you know, that keeps us. And it is interesting, too. Do you realize the third most attended Sunday in a church is Mother's Day, behind Christmas and Easter, as a tribute to moms? I mean, there's people who don't go to church normally, but they'll come on Mother's Day because they want to be there with their mom. You know, they want to pay tribute to their mom. I've even heard people say, well, you know, I want to honor my mom's God. I mean, even people who aren't even close to God, but they want to honor their mom. And so they come to church. I kind of think it might be so they can get a meal afterwards, too. I don't know. You know, who knows? But got a couple more things that people have written. There's a Spanish proverb says this: an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests. W.R. Wallace said this: the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world. Booker T. Washington says, in all my efforts to learn to read, my mother shared fully my ambition and sympathized with me and aided me in every way she could. If I have done anything in this life worth attention, I feel sure that I inherited the disposition from my mother. So he gave everything he's ever done in life because of his mom. Barbara Kingsolver says this: sometimes the strength of motherhood is greater than natural laws. You know, sometimes it seems that mothers can be strong when nobody else can be. I mean, mothers just have that way of making it all okay when it doesn't seem like it's going to be okay. But, you know, Charlie Chaplin, the actor, says this: it seems to me that my mother was the most splendid woman I ever knew. I have met a lot of people knocking around the world since, but I have never met a more thoroughly refined woman than my mother. If I have amounted to anything, it would be due to her. Then this was an unknown author who wrote this. He said, many scholars have concluded that you cannot really understand John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, unless you understand his mother, Susanna Wesley. She was so instrumental in his life that she inevitably affected the movement and its direction. So said that, you know, John Wesley's mom was one that affected the whole Methodist movement. Americans also know that Abraham Lincoln led this nation through perhaps the greatest of crises. But who was it that Abraham Lincoln, the man, who was it that made Abraham Lincoln the man he was? I know that what Lincoln thought, he said it was his mother. I would submit to you this morning that there is not a person sitting here that in 1, 5, 10, or 1,000 different ways has not been forever influenced by their mother. I firmly believe that you cannot understand who a person is and what motivates them until you understand their past. And you cannot understand a person's past without understanding the source that co-created that person along with God, their parents. Stevie Wonder says this: mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness. If love is sweet as a flower, then my mama is that sweet flower of love. Denzel Washington says this: my mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school so much as they were sending me home, but my mother sent me right back. Here's another says this: my mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up as the Pope. Instead, I became a painter and wound up as Picasso. That's by Pablo Picasso. You know, it was his mom that said, you know what, whatever you do, you're going to be the greatest at it. You know, and I believe a lot of us, if we have that influence of a mom, you know, our mom believes us when nobody else does. But I mean, I love that statement. I decided to be a painter and wound up as a Picasso. That's pretty awesome. Jackie Kennedy says this: if you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do matters very much. You know, that's the most important thing you can do is to raise a child. David O. McKay said the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Dorothy Canfield Fisher says this: a mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. C.W. Bass says this: behind the greatness of Samuel stood a devout mother named Hannah. She had long prayed for a child as a gift from the Lord and a promise even before his birth to give him back into God's service. While Samuel was still a young child, she brought him to the temple where he then lived in full-time training for God's service. Thus, it has always been: mother is the first teacher and the greatest influence on children. She deserves her day. A London editor sought an interview with Winston Churchill concerning the many teachers who had influenced this great statesman. Unable to secure a personal appointment with Churchill, he did his preliminary research on his own. Then he mailed a list of names asking Churchill to write some brief comments about any of these teachers he remembered. Later, he received a list back from Churchill blank. The only comment was, you have omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother. Washington Irving says this: a mother is the truest friend we have. When trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends who rejoice with us in our own sunshine desert us, and when trouble thickens around us, still she will cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsel to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. Here's a couple of funny stories about teachers in relation to a mom. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question: my full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Obviously, the really quiet answer must be magnet. But mothers are the ones picking up things. Another teacher said this. She asked a boy a question: suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What part of the pie would you get? A sixth, replied the boy. I'm afraid you don't know your fraction, said the teacher. Remember, there are seven of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy, but you don't know my mother. Mother would say she doesn't want any pie. And you know, how many moms are like that? You know, they'll get, you know, they'd rather their kids, you know, have things even if they don't. And I don't know how many times that, you know, I wanted some food, and, you know, especially I'm usually getting seconds. You know, my mom hadn't even had first. And you know, like when it comes to her chocolate pie was one of my favorite things. And I don't know how many times, you know, I've showed up at their house, you know, we had a family. Usually we only get the pie on like, you know, like Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. And so you show up a couple of days later, there's one piece left. And I know my mom would probably want it, but she goes, you can have it. No, I don't really need it. So sometimes now she just said, I'll just take it because you don't need it. This is interesting too. This is the stages of motherhood that someone wrote down. It says, at 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. At 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot. a whole lot. At 12 years of age, my mom doesn't really know quite everything. At 14 years of age, naturally, my mother doesn't know that either. At 16, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. At 25, well, she might know a little bit about it. At 35, before we decide, let's go get mom's opinion. At 45, wonder what mom would have thought about it. At 65, I wish I could talk it over with my mom. You know, sometimes, you know, in life, we kind of discount our moms and our dads too. We think it's, you know, sometimes they get to be buggy and, you know, and tell you exactly how to raise your kids and this and that and everything else. But you know, there comes a time whenever you wish they were here. Thank God my mom is still alive. But you know, both of my grandparents, my grandmothers, and my grandfather, both have passed away. And I don't know, today I was just thinking about my grandmothers and their influences on my life, especially my mom's mom. Because she's probably more outspoken than my dad's mom. And so my mom's mom actually, she took her opportunity many times whenever we go to Dallas. I know a lot of times she would sit and talk to me and give me words of wisdom. Sometimes they were wise, sometimes they weren't. Sometimes my mom would say, "Mom, don't say that," and things like that. But it is interesting, you know, I do attribute a lot of things in life to her and her wisdom and things she would say. And I remember one time that I can't remember what we were talking about it, but I was there with my grandparents and both my grandfather and grandmother and my grandfather says, "Oh, honey," you know, she would tell me different things about ministry. You know, I was in the ministry now, and he goes, "Oh, you know, just let him find out for himself or whatever," you know, and because she would give me her opinion. You know, she wanted to give me her opinion about people and things or whatever. All right, this is kind of cool. It's called Real Mothers. Real mothers don't eat quiche. They don't have time to make it. Real mothers know that their kitchen utensils are probably in the sandbox. Real mothers often have sticky floors, filthy ovens, and happy kids. Real mothers know that dried Play-Doh doesn't come out of the carpet. Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real mothers sometimes ask, "Why me?" and then get their answer when the little voices say, "Because I love you best." Real mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. It's marked by the progression of mama to mommy to mom. Then I'm going to leave you off before we look to the word with this. Campbell Morgan stated that his sermons were Bible stories heard from his mother. Dr. Morgan's four sons became preachers. Their dedication no doubt stemmed from their godly heritage. Someone once asked the youngest son, "Who was the greatest preacher in the Morgan family?" And the son answered without hesitation, "My mother." So even though there were five ministers in the family that ministered on a daily basis, the greatest one was the mom. And like I said, the mom is our greatest influence to our nation. You know, today we look at great politicians, great CEOs, and I can guarantee you that their greatness started because their moms believed in them. Their moms pushed them. Their moms helped them become that Picasso in life, you know. And you know what? Even if they didn't become a somebody who everybody else thinks is great, their mom still thinks they're great. I mean, you know, it's just interesting because when it comes to moms, I mean, moms think, you know, more highly than their kids than they ought sometimes. You know, they can do no wrong. It is interesting. Back to my grandmother, my mom's mom. I mean, that's kind of how I was. I mean, you know, not only she would even tell me I was her favorite all the time, you know, which you shouldn't do as a grandmother or mom. but you know, it's just, you know, she would put a lot of things in my life and tell me a lot of things and even told me about some church politics stuff when I was just young and never even seen that. You know, it took me years to see some of those things. But, you know, she'd always give me heads up stuff. And she was, you know, she just was a character in life. I want to go to John chapter 2. John, the second chapter, starting with the first verse. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I want to look at this story and this interaction between Jesus and his mom. In fact, you realize that it was Jesus' mom that started him out in ministry here in John chapter 2. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole story, and we'll go back and look at it. It says, "The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Verse 4 says, 'Dear woman, that's not our problem.' Jesus replied, 'My time has not yet come.' But his mother told the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, 'Fill the jars with the water.' When the jars had been filled, he said, 'Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies.' So the servants followed his instruction. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. 'A host always serves the best wine first,' he said. 'Then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him.'" So, you know, here they were here at the wedding here at Cana, you know, and everything's going great. And then they ran out of wine. And so it's just interesting, whenever Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine, his answer, according to the New Living Translation, it was, "Dear woman, that's not our problem." Why is it our problem? Who cares? I mean, you know, they didn't plan ahead. It's not our problem. We're just guests here at this wedding. You know, but then the next thing out of his mouth was, you know, "My time has not yet come. And so, you know, it's not time for me to start my ministry. You know, it's not time for me to work any miracles." But, you know, the next thing out of Jesus' mom's mouth, out of Mary, she says, "But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you." So Mary didn't even listen to Jesus. You know, and there's something about our mom's influence. You know, when our mom says something, she can convince us to do things that we don't want to do. But, you know, sometimes it's because our mom knows us better than anybody else does. You know, sometimes it takes our mom to push us to where we need to become. You know, maybe Jesus didn't know when to start or how to start. Maybe it's something that Mary on the inside, because remember, Mary had known Jesus, you know, all his life and before he was born. From that day, we all hear the Christmas story. We all know about that. I mean, you know, I mean, if there's anyone that knows Jesus, it was Mary. I mean, you know, Mary knew everything about him. I mean, she raised him, you know, and sometimes... I understand in the Catholic Church, sometimes you think that they maybe overemphasize, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But you know what? If it wasn't for Mary, I mean, things would have been completely different. It was all about Mary. We wouldn't have Jesus if it wasn't for Mary. Now, maybe God would have used somebody else, but he had to use somebody. And he chose this woman. But not only did he choose this woman to give birth to Jesus, this woman also gave birth to Jesus' ministry. If it wasn't for Mary, I mean, I don't know when Jesus' ministry would have started if it wasn't for his mom. You know, and a lot of times, you know, it's interesting. Our mom is the first one that sees our potential. Our mom sees us, you know, even unlike that we see ourselves. And I know, you know, one of the awesome jobs that I have is we get to train ministers, you know, to go around the world and to preach and teach the gospel. And we're getting ready to have another graduating class on Friday. And, you know, I'm so proud that we have over 80,000 Rhema graduates all around the world and over 250 Bible schools. And it's awesome to be able to do that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you see these people graduate and they're like, "Man, I don't know if I could ever preach." You know, sometimes they need a little nudge to start. Sometimes they're like, you know, I remember the first time that I had ever preach a, what I call it, I mean, I've been a Sunday school teacher or whatever, but it never preached a service in what we call big church. You know, there's a difference between youth group and big church. And so we were in Lakeland, Florida, and there was a pastor there. We were actually, this time we were doing a meeting. At that time, my grandfather was going to convention centers. We weren't going to churches. We were in convention centers, but we happened to be in town over Sunday morning. And so I think he asked my grandfather to speak. My grandfather told him no. And so then he went to me and he said, "Hey, Craig, I want you to speak for me on Sunday morning." I'm like, "But I've never preached at big church before. And besides that, I mean, you run like 1,500 people on Sunday morning, you know." And he's like, his answer was, "Well, you have to start somewhere." I'm like, "Yeah, but I kind of want to start in a small church where, no, you know, if I mess up, it won't look so bad, you know." But I thank God. It was this pastor who just really pushed for me to come and minister, me to come, you know. And you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And so, you know, I just kind of wonder if Mary didn't push Jesus, would he have started his ministry? How long would it took before he started his ministry? But I think that Mary saw potential on the inside of him, just like our moms see a potential on the inside of us, even when nobody else sees it. And they can push us and drive us like nobody else can. I mean, you realize that your moms can say things to you that other people can't. In fact, if other people say them to you, you take it as criticism. You take it, you know, from your mom. Because see, you have a relationship with your mom. You know your mom loves you. You know your mom's not just trying to pick on you. She's trying to tell you out of love. When other people tell you that, you're like, "Well, I don't know if they love me or not." You know, so, I mean, you know, but your mom can just, I mean, she has influence like nobody else. And it's amazing, you know, like I said, it's our moms that influence the whole world. I mean, every great leader that's ever, you know, been, you know, from Adam's time all the way to now, except for Adam and Eve, all started because of a mom. You know, Eve was the first mom ever. And also one of your relatives, by the way, because everyone here happens to be related to Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife, because there was nobody else. So anyway, just want to let you know that. But here was Jesus saying, "My time's not yet." But his mom didn't stop. I mean, next thing he says, he told the servants, you know, "Go do whatever he tells you to do." And so, you know what? I mean, Jesus could have told the servants, "Hey, I'm not going to tell you to do anything because it's not my time." But he didn't. You know why he didn't? Because he respected his mom. He didn't want to make his mom look bad. He wanted to do, you know, he wanted to make his mom look good. So he said, you know, "Hey, go fill the jars up with water." You know, and then he says, "Well, dip some out and go take him out to the guy in charge." Now, don't you think that the servant who actually did this might have thinking, "You know what? What if it tastes like water? What are they going to do to me?" But I guess they must have trusted Jesus. Or, you know, I guess they're going to get in trouble anyway. No matter what, they're going to get in trouble. So, you know, they figured, well, it's worth a shot. Because I want you to understand, this is not Jesus Christ, the one who walked on the water at that point in time. This is the very first miracle. He hadn't fed the 5,000. So there was a lot of trust that these people put into Jesus. You know, a lot of times too, it's interesting. And, you know, I always think about whenever I give my grandfather's testimony, and, you know, how he was raised from a deathbed. And I said, you know, this is not 75-year-old Brother Hagin. This was 17-year-old Brother Hagin that had never read a book on faith and only had read the Bible. Not even read the Bible, only read a few chapters of the Bible. And praise God, he got to Mark 11, 23, 24, and he acted upon it. So we're talking about Jesus is just starting. Now, it's a whole lot easier to believe in Jesus and say, "Well, yeah, this is the guy who walks on water, this guy that feeds 5,000. But, I mean, Jesus hadn't done nothing. I mean, yeah, he had a little conversation at the temple, you know, with some people. But, I mean, you know, he's really wasn't anything. I mean, he's a carpenter. Do you realize that? So there was a lot of trust that these guys had. You know, but there's also Jesus' mom, Mary, knew that he could do it. And I believe Jesus also knew he could do it because he's Jesus. But I mean, you know, I mean, think about the faith of these servants. I mean, because, you know, how many times do we read stories about servants do things and make their masters mad or put in jail? You know, but these servants, they went and took the wine to the master of ceremonies, and then he stopped the whole thing. And you know, whenever he stopped them, I imagine they're probably thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to yell at us. But no, he stopped it and said, you know what? Thank you for bringing the best out later on. Thank you. Now, here's the thing. I mean, if we think about it, I know that, you know, that I'm sure most of you are not winologists or don't know anything about wine, but, you know, I know I was watching a television show last night, and then so there were some wine tasters or whatever, and they were talking about expensive wines, and someone paid $50,000 for a bottle of wine, and they're talking about a 1937 something, a 1922. So basically, you know, the older the wine is, the better it tastes. Now, you realize that this wasn't old. Not only was this not old, it was just a bunch of water. I mean, it was, but you know what? When it comes to Jesus, all you got to do is just give him something to work with. Give him something. So, you know, if Jesus can work with water, he can sure work with you. You know, because that water was a bunch of nothing. It wasn't aged to perfection. You know, it was, you know, and also think about this, you know, we don't realize because we know you're used to living here in Oklahoma and we have fairly decent water. I know many of you probably don't drink from your tap anyway, but you can drink from your tap and still live. All right. And not get sick. I mean, if you travel around the world, there's places if you drink from the, you can drink from the tap, but you know, get ready to sit in the bathroom for a while and, you know, and hang out there and, you know, who knows what else. I mean, you know, and then sometimes people like me don't think about, you know, I don't think about drinking the water, but they eat the ice. What an idiot. You know, so anyway, but the water there, the reason that a lot of people drank wine and because the water was no good. It wasn't drinkable. It was full of all kinds of contaminants. You just don't drink the water. So basically, they were giving this person, the master of ceremony, something that was no good. But it became good because Jesus made it good. Just like he can take you and make it okay. Maybe you're feeling like, well, I'm no good. I haven't done anything no good. But you know what? Two things. First of all, your mom believed in you. Secondly, you can come to Jesus. And he can make everything okay. He can make it, you know, better than what anybody else could ever think it could be. Because, you know, that wine was the best wine ever. You know, and think about the servants. I mean, it says right here, the servants knew where it came from. It says right here, when the master ceremonies tasted the wine that was the water that was now wine, not knowing where it come from, though, of course, the servants knew. So see, the servants knew that wine was really water. It wasn't really that good. But I don't know what Jesus did. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he prayed. I don't know if he didn't pray. I don't know because it doesn't really tell us anything. It just says, do whatever he says. You know, sometimes if we'll just do what he says, everything will be okay. Well, what's he say? You know what? You know, lay your burdens on me. Cast your cares upon me. Let me take care of your situation. Let me take control. Because, you know, Jesus has a great track record. You know, but what's interesting is his first miracle was all because of his mama. It was all because of his mama. His mama believed in him. His mama knew he could do it. And he did. You know, like I said, our mamas believed in us. And, you know, sometimes maybe your mama's not here. Maybe, you know, but remember, she's still believing in you. She's still proud of you. You know, I think many times in my life, one of the last things that my grandfather told me, I didn't know it would be one of the last times I saw him. He came to my office and, you know, maybe he knew. I don't know if he knew. I don't know what he knew. I don't know. But, you know, he said, I just want to let you know that I'm proud of you. You know, and so many times I think about in life whenever things happen that, you know, my grandfather's proud of me. You know, but you got to remember, hey, your mama's proud of you. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you've done, your mama's proud of you. She's proud of you. She's proud of the person that you become. And you know, and I get it. Maybe you can become more, but she's proud of you. It's just so awesome. You know, the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he'll not depart. You know, sometimes it seems along the way, a lot of times we depart for a while. But when we remember our mom, a lot of times that's when we come back. We remember our training. We remember what our mom trained us. And so I think that there's nothing greater than a godly mother. There's nothing greater than a godly mother. And I know back to my grandfather's church, whenever I was very young, we lived down in Dallas, and my dad was associate pastor there. And it was interesting because of that church and probably the generation, there were a lot of people, a lot of them, ladies that would come to church, they would bring their kids, but the father would never be there. But it was interesting, like I said, almost every Mother's Day, the dad was there too, because they respected the mom. You know, and I think there's nothing greater than a godly mom. And I wonder, after reading these stories, how long would it have taken Jesus to start his ministry if it wasn't for his mom? Or would his mom push him some other time? Maybe if he would have said, no, I'm not going to do it, maybe there would have been another occasion where his mom pushed him, where his mom was, you know, was the one who pushed him. And so it's interesting, you know, to think about, it's his mom that birthed him, but it's also his mom that birthed his ministry. You know, and I just, you know, this is something I was looking at and examining, you know, and I think about moms. And, you know, it is interesting too, how many times that I know a lot of people, like I said, that maybe they get crossways with their father, but most of them, I'm not saying you don't sometimes get crossways with your mom for a day or whatever, but I know most people call their mom on Mother's Day, or if they're still alive or whatever. I know people don't call their father sometimes, and we should honor our parents. You know, the Bible even tells us that, to honor our father and mother. I mean, if nothing else, they brought you in the world. You know, I know that they haven't always been the most godly example sometimes, always the best things. And I didn't read this, but one lady actually said this. She said, I would like to be a really good mom, but I'm too busy raising my children. You know, sometimes you feel like that as a mom, I'm sure. I mean, another mom was saying something. Well, you know, when you give 50% of your time to your children, 50% of the time to your husband, 50% of the time to your job, 50% of the time to the cleaning, you know, you run out of time. You know, and that's how it is sometimes for moms. But moms seem to be, you know, I believe the very first superhero that any kid ever sees is their mom. Better than Batman or Superman or all the other, you know, comic heroes that they see. It's their mom. I think their mom is their biggest superhero. And, you know, and like I said, if you have the wherewithal to speak to your mom, if you haven't already, hopefully by now you've talked to your mom at some point in time, you know, please do that. Please talk to your mom. Please tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. And even if your mom's done a lot of things wrong in life, they brought you here to this world. And if it wasn't for your mom, you wouldn't be here. But praise God for being a godly mom, and I believe that's one thing that we, as this generation needs to show forth the same godly influence that other generations showed, and I believe that if we can do that, we'll have a better world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here, and we thank you, Father, to help us today to honor our mom like never before, Father. We thank you for what our mom means to us, and we thank you for all the direction that they have given us, and all the grace and the mercy and compassion that they've given us over throughout the years. And we thank you that we're the people that we are today because of our mom. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today on Mother's Day, that they'll make him their Lord and Savior. Maybe they're here and they said, you know what? At one time I walked with God, but I want to come back. I want to rededicate my life to him. I want to have what we call a know-so experience. I want to know that I'm saved. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I've never been saved, or I want to rededicate my life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I believe most of you are saved, but I don't want to miss an opportunity for somebody to come into the kingdom of God. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God. We thank you for sending laborers across our paths on a daily basis, and we thank you that they will be saved. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if there's anyone here that needs healing, and anybody need healing in their body, I want to take this opportunity to lay hands upon you and pray for you if anybody needs healing. Amen. Don't want to miss out, all right? Amen. You know, one of the things that the Lord led me to do one time is, one time the Lord got on to me and said, sometimes you don't give an opportunity to minister healing to people. And so we always want to give that opportunity. So if you need healing, they've already broken the ice. Now, some people they just don't want to come down, but they're already down here, so you don't have to worry about it, all right? I'm going to ask you guys this, dude, couple things. Lift both hands toward heaven. Close your eyes and think about Jesus. Think about Jesus and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now as we lay hands upon these fine folks. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, for healing taking place, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, that's it right there. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. So are you going to have that card up here? All right. They're going to have mom's card up here for you guys to sign. And they're going to be here next week. And you can celebrate her birthday with her. I think we're going to celebrate it tomorrow. We're going to go out for a steak dinner. Praise God. My dad's paying, so that's good. Even better, thank God for a good, godly dad that wants to pay for expensive meals. So, amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back to shake your hand at the door, like I always say. If I don't shake my hand, you can go out that door. Well, we're going to leave that card up here if you want to sign the card. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day.